And we needn't be frightened of death because of what happened to Jesus. In John chapter 20 and from verse 19. From John 20 and from verse 19. Although Jesus had said that he was going to rise from the dead when he had died, it had never really sunk in. That's why we need to be taught things often. But it had never really sunk into him, and they were very sad to think that Jesus had died. But on that morning, Sunday after Good Friday, he rose from the dead. He was risen. He said that he would. He said that he was in charge of life, had power over dying and death. And he had risen from the dead. And he gives life, risen life, new life, everlasting life to all who trust in him. Now, it was the first day of the week. That was a change. Because when the Lord made the world, he made it in 6 days. And the seventh day, Saturday, he rested. On the first day, the Lord made the earth. And when the Lord Jesus died, it was on the Friday. And on the Sabbath day, he rested in death. And on the first day of the week, the first day of creation, and the day we remember it as the day the Lord rose from the dead, and we call it the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the first of the first days of the week that mattered. And so, on that first Lord's Day, that first Sunday, it was evening. And the disciples hadn't really trusted Jesus or hadn't really believed he would rise from the dead. So they locked themselves into a room in case the Jews attacked them while they were worshipping. They locked themselves into the room. And then Jesus appeared. His body looked the same, but it was different. They recognized that it was he, but he came through the door. He could pass through anywhere. He had changed, but it was the same recognizable Lord Jesus. And when he spoke, they knew it was the same Lord Jesus. He said to them, "Peace." It was a bit more than their way of saying hello, but it meant, of course, when Jesus said it, that he actually gave them peace, settled their hearts, made them confident in him. And then he showed them his hands and his side. So it was obviously the same Lord Jesus who'd been killed, even though he came through the door. And they could see in his hands the print of the nails. And he must have just shown them his side with the great sword gap in it. For you know that when the Lord Jesus died, just to prove he was dead, a Roman centurion came with his sword and struck him there down his side. So that killed him. But he was dead already anyway, but that would prove that he was really dead. So Jesus showed the disciples his hands and his side. Perhaps they'd not seen it before. I don't know if they were all there at the crucifixion or all there at the very end when the Roman soldier had come. But he showed them his hands and his side. And then again he said to them, "Peace." That's going to be what you will enjoy most, peace in your heart. And I've got a job for you. As my Father sent me to this world to die for sin, so I want you to go into the world and preach so that other people might be rescued from their sin. So it's been from that day to this. And then he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And wherever you go and preach the gospel, sins will be destroyed. And where you don't go, the place will remain in darkness. But one of those disciples was not there. His name was Thomas, and he was a twin, because that's what the word Didymus means. His twin brother or sister wasn't a disciple. We don't know who it was. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Why? I don't know. Perhaps he was so sad. Perhaps he was upset. Perhaps his faith had been shattered. It's a funny thing that sometimes when people are most in need is the time they don't come to church, when it would do them the most good. Anyway, this time Thomas was there. It's 8 days later, but you know, it's just like the Jews counted each day. So if somebody died on Friday, and then like Jesus was in the grave Saturday, and then on Sunday morning rose from the dead, we'd say that was only 2 days, but they count each day that's involved, so it's three. So when here in John 19 it says it was 8 days later, it means it was seven. It was just a week from the previous time when he'd come. Now, before that happened, the disciples had met Thomas during the week, one day between the first Sunday and the next Sunday. And they were all excited, and they said to Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." They expected him to be so excited, but he wasn't at all excited. He was very grumpy. Except he said, "I shall see in his hand the print of the nails. I don't believe you've seen him. I don't believe he's alive. Unless I see that print of his nails, and unless I put my finger into the print of the nails." Sure, he didn't really mean that. Even the disciples who'd seen the Lord Jesus didn't put their finger into his side, and they didn't touch the print of the nails. But he says, unless I do that, I will not believe. Quite firm. He was not going to believe in the Lord Jesus being alive, unless he saw these marks. And the business of seeing comes up again later. So it was then that Thomas next week was gathered together with the disciples. And once again, Jesus came through the door when the doors were shut. And he did the same thing. He stood right in the middle of them and he greeted them, "Peace be unto you." And then he said to Thomas, I've often told you, but it's always remained fixed in my memory, that if I was in trouble at school, I knew I was really in trouble if the master came in the room to teach a history lesson, he said, "Harley, come here." That's how he began the lesson. I knew I was in trouble, deep trouble. And when Jesus said on that occasion, he said, "Peace be to you, greetings to you all," Thomas knew that the Lord was going to speak something quite severe and important to him. So he says to Thomas, "Come on, let's have your finger. Reach hither your finger and behold my hands. You said, didn't you, that you want to see and put your finger into the print of the nails? Come on then, do it." Now when we are cross, we exaggerate, don't we? And when Thomas was cross, And he said, I want to put my finger in the print of the nails. He didn't really, did he? It was just words, just bluster. But then Jesus says to him, come on now, you do it. And then he said, come on, let's have your hand. Thrust it into my side. Very word that Thomas had used to the disciples. Unless I thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Jesus shows that he knows everything. He knew what Thomas had said. But that word thrust is a terribly strong Greek word. Thrust it! Be rough with it. Don't just be gentle and fiddle about. I want to thrust it. Jesus says, do it. Of course, it wasn't what he wanted. And Jesus looks at him and says, be not faithless, but believing. Now they're opposites. The Greek says, be not faithless, but have faith. Don't be without faith, but have faith. Be not faithless, but believing, says Jesus. Have faith in me. Thomas answered, so taken aback and with deep reverence, he says to Jesus, my Lord and my God, you're my teacher, you mean everything to me, you are the great God of heaven. And from saying he would not believe unless he saw, when he does see, he confesses that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he desires to obey with all his heart. But Jesus isn't finished with him yet. Thomas, oh dear, now what's coming? Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and still have believed. You had a great opportunity, Thomas, to be the first person who hadn't seen me and who believed, but you missed it. You said you wouldn't believe unless you saw me. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. Jesus was thinking of the great majority of people who would believe in him would never have seen him. He was thinking of all those down the years, first century, 20th century, 21st century. He was thinking of all those who would believe in him, and he was saying their belief is right. They're right to trust me even though they don't see me. Even now I've gone to heaven and they don't see me, they are right to put their faith in me. Thomas, fine that you saw me and believed, but it could have been better, couldn't it? Not, you weren't 100%, were you? Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet have believed. Thomas was changed. He never doubted again. He joined with all the disciples in doing the things they went on to do, in preaching about Jesus all over the world. But he did begin badly. He didn't believe. He didn't believe without seeing. None of us had the chance of seeing. And if Jesus had allowed that to pass, we'd have all had doubts as to whether Jesus was really true. But Jesus says, blessed, a blessing, a good thing, a wonderful thing. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We don't see, but it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to believe in Christ. It's going to be increasingly wonderful in the days that lie ahead. Because what all the rioting caused by wokeism means is that they don't believe that anybody is in authority, anybody should be in charge. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is in charge. And it's going to be them or us. Either we believe the Bible or we go along with the world. But the Bible will lead us to Christ. Christ will lead us to eternal life. Nobody else will have eternal life in heaven but those who believe in Christ. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That could be us, couldn't it? Amen.